This is Pure Decking for Thursday, June the 22nd, this year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like how everyone seems to live via their smartphones and information security, and insert joke here. I think I forgot to update something with the show notes. I'm Morps, and tonight I have Madman and Are You. I am drinking a lot of Woodford's. Madman, what are you drinking?
Newcastle Brown Ale.
Good man. Are You, what do you got?
I just finished my coffee.
Cool. Very cool. So, yeah, sorry about missing last week. I basically got my ass kicked. So I kind of had to, I didn't get home till like 8:30. There was just no way, you know? So, mentally got my ass kicked, not physically. So, if somebody was physically trying to kick my ass, I'm American, I'd just shoot him. So, anyways.
Speaking of weapons sales, man. Watching a news report out of Germany, and they cannot keep capskin spray and pepper bullets for gas-loaded guns in stores anymore.
Oh, those the paintball guns that shoot the pepper spray?
Yeah, they just can't import enough of them. They're just
I thought they were illegal over there.
No, they're legal. If you're looking to make a quick buck on the market, there's a huge sale. They just can't get enough imported in the country quick enough. Being American, you can get your hands on pretty much anything.
Yeah, I used to see those things all the time. I haven't seen them lately. I think I saw a YouTube video where somebody was reviewing them and they were hiding behind a board to hold it up while somebody else shot at it. And
yeah,
they wouldn't stand up and, like, you know, they about fell over from the pepper spray, so.
Yeah, those things sting. Not that I've been shot by it, but I've been capskin sprayed.
Yeah, that's one of the ways they disperse it. They either shoot you directly or they blow off a hopper under the ground in front of a mob and just let the wind whiff pepper spray into them.
Well, as long as the wind is moving in the right direction, unlike Antifa's attempts.
I was going to say, we've seen a few fuck-ups like that lately. Yeah, go kill those bins, Antifa. Down with those Nazi bins.
Yeah, that's totally what they're doing.
Seems to be the only thing they can attack successfully.
Cycro's in the chat room is saying one of those paintball gun pepper sprays killed somebody, shooting them right in the face or right in the eye.
Damn.
I could see that. High enough velocity. That's one reason you always wear headgear when you're playing paintball. A shot to the temple can kill you.
So here's the question. When you're actually out protesting, is that also considered playing paintball now?
I know protesting is now considered LARPing.
It is. Too bad they're not out there screaming, you know, fireball and throwing the little beanbags at each other, though. That'd be kind of funny. Get some guys out there actually LARPing in front of the protesters just to kind of make the point.
That would be amazing.
So technically, when the South Koreans dragged the guillotine out into the town square, were they culturally appropriating French people?
Sure, why not?
Answering all the big questions today on Pure Decking.
So, all right, let's get into the first article here. It's from Mars Technica. A judge is ordering drunken drivers to install Uber and Lyft. A local judge in Ohio is taking a novel approach when it comes to drunken drivers. Municipal Court Judge Michael Sinati of Painesville has been requiring motorists convicted of operating a vehicle under the influence to download the ride-hailing apps Uber and Lyft, and they must set up the apps with their credit cards. It's just common sense. Now that we have the technology and most people have the ability to do that, why not make it part of their sentence? Oh, God, that reasoning. Oh, God, that reasoning. Well, they have the ability to do it. Why not make it part of their sentence? You know, we could force them to go out and buy mopeds just to be embarrassed riding around town. Why not? We're going to force you to date a fat chick.
You're telling me that someone who isn't intelligent enough to go, well, hang on, maybe I shouldn't drink and drive, are intelligent enough to use a smartphone?
Well, it doesn't take much smarts to use the smartphone. I mean,
it doesn't take much smarts to go, fuck it, I'm pissed out of my skull, better not drive.
That's true, but when you can just go, okay, Siri, how do you hide a body?
These people that are driving drunk aren't the most socialized people to start with. They're antisocial. So you're going to get some fucking college kid picking up your, we'll call him Big Jimmy Badass from the bar. He's 42 years old, got post-traumatic stress from Afghanistan, and this fucking hair-lipped little faggot with green hair getting, where can I take you through of the flaming queer? Yeah, I can see gay bashings going up in this state.
I love how Uber drivers are now suddenly gay.
Oh, sorry, it's a long bow to draw, but I'm drawing it, okay?
Okay.
So let's see the rest of the article here. The new Ohio punishment, which is tacked on to fines and possible jail time, is the latest move by the authorities requiring the use of mobile technology to combat drunken drivers. Beginning in November, Oklahoma will become the latest of a growing number of states requiring first-time drunken driver offenders to install a breathalyzer in their vehicles, and the ignition will not start if the car or will not start the car if the device detects a certain level of alcohol. Mothers Against Drug Driving said 10,265 people were killed and another 290,000 injured in alcohol-related incidents on roadways in 2015. So, driving while intoxicated isn't the only major cause of accidents either. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, so they've got some more stats that driving is super dangerous. Part of the blame for distracted driving is levels of technology. Okay, so now he's going into distracted driving and how Apple's latest update has a do not disturb while driving feature. So, but I just, I don't know. I think it's odd for a judge to require you to install something on your phone. That something about that tickles in the back of the neck, you know what I mean?
Until they're off of probation, I'm completely fine with it.
Well, it's anti-competitive to start with. Why not make them install the local cab company's number?
They can already do that. I hit the Google button on my phone and said, call Yellow Cab. Calls Yellow Cab for me. They're already not doing it.
Okay. That's a fair point.
It's built into my phone. I don't have to download an app for it. It's there.
I tell you, I'm getting a righteous education on Uber and Lyft here by Psychos. And different ways they're being used.
So my favorite were the articles about Uber drivers picking people up and robbing them. So,
well, did you see the carjacking of the Uber video that was live streamed to YouTube? To no. Facebook. These, gotta be correct.
I've been buried at work lately, so no, I've not seen this.
This is going back a month or so, when it was really popular to commit crimes on Facebook. These two guys, they called a Uber. They jumped in, pulled a gun, and then live streamed themselves robbing this little Asian guy in the Uber car.
Oh, God.
No one's getting any internets for race or ethnicity or anything like that, or country of origin. But yeah, it was pretty amusing 30-minute video.
I was kind of hoping the Asian guy would go all Jackie Chan on them at the end, but I'm guessing not.
No, he was all more like weepy and please don't kill me, Mr. Big Man. Here's my wallet. You can have my car and keys.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I figure most Uber drivers would have the shotgun under the dash somewhere or something. Or one of those crazy sawed-off ones that's just barely longer than the shells, you know? That way.
Oh, that's
really
retarded.
Oh, yeah, it's retarded as hell, but if you need a blaster, I mean...
Well, if you want to scatter your backseat passenger, that's
That's how you scatter your backseat passenger, yes.
That's, yeah. You know, double barrel with that, you know, cut right off. You could still, you know, even further back, so you can still see the edge of the shell when it's loaded.
Yeah, see, that's when you, after you've blown away the guy attempting to rob you, that's when you then take the pictures and report it to Uber so you can get your comp for the damage.
$150, no questions. That's for vomit. I wonder what brains will get you. But as far as the actual story, I don't see an issue with this if the dude's on probation.
You know what brains will get you, madman? About 12 to 24. Life in most, and maybe death penalty in some.
You imagine the guy at Uber sitting there reviewing it. It's like, yeah, puke, tore up the seats, brought a dog in, dog took a shit. What the fuck? The dead body.
That's why you only do this in a castle state, my friends. Castle states.
Oh, it's like a story from work, but I'll tell you this one off air because it just happened, and, well, I, yeah. So, anyways, and let's just say it involved other people's web browser histories.
Don't look at those. It's dangerous.
You have no idea. Okay, so, how do I tell this story without telling the story?
Well, tell it off air. It's the safest way. It's the only way to be sure. Nuke it from space.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. So, let's just say people at work are stupid and other people overheard it. And, you know, it was not cool. Anyways, so next article. Because I guess we're going to blow through the articles quickly tonight, but that's okay. Is from Tech Dirt. The Supreme Court says you cannot ban people from the internet no matter what they've done. So going all the way back to 2002 and many times after that, Tech Dirt has talked about courts struggling with whether or not it's okay to ban people from the internet after they've committed a crime. The question comes up in many different cases, but most prevalently in cases involving child predators. While courts have struggled with the issue for so long, it's now only that the Supreme Court has weighed in and said that you cannot ban someone from the internet, even if they're convicted of horrific crimes, or in this case, sex crimes against a minor. Well, obviously you can. Well, you don't ban them from the internet. You just ban them from, you know, life.
Yeah, that's somebody, a turnoff situation.
Yeah, that's oh, you're damaged. We're gonna go with the reboot. Be a 9mm. So you cannot ban somebody from the internet. In this case, sex crimes against a minor. The case is in Packingham. The dude's name is fucking Packingham.
Could have been worse. Could have been fudge packing.
I guess. Packingham versus North Carolina. And the Supreme Court had to determine if it violated the First Amendment's Free Speech Clause and the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause to make it a felony for convicted sex officials. Or, I'm sorry. There's a job. Convicted sex officials. How does that work?
You must molest this many children before a promotion?
You get a badge or something?
Wow, I just got dark.
Yeah, sorry. Convicted sex offenders. Now I've lost my place. Laughing at it. Convicted sex offenders to visit social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, as was the case in a North Carolina law. In this case, Lester Packingham. God, I hope that's a fake name because that is. I mean, you know, as some pedophile's name, Lester Packingham. Really? Although it's not three names, so I guess he didn't kill anybody, is a convicted sex offender for an event that happened back in 2002. And in 2010, he went on Facebook to brag about getting a traffic ticket dismissed using his middle name as his last name. A local police officer saw the post and connected the dots to figure out that the poster, J.R. Gerald, was actually Lester... Oh, there's your three names. Lester Gerald Packingham, and charged him with violating the North Carolina law using social media as a sex offender. Various state courts went back and forth with the North Carolina Supreme Court, eventually saying that the law was constitutional in all respects. The Supreme Court of the United States, however, did not agree. The ruling is interesting on a number of levels. It cites pretty directly EFS amicus brief, noting just how important and central to our lives sites like Facebook have become. I'm not going to read the whole brief, but basically they found cause to say that you know, you're basically, it's a basic human right to be able to communicate. You cannot prevent people from communicating even if they've done horrible things. So, which, to be fair, if he's served his time and hasn't, you know, recommitted any crime, then...
Time, he should have his constitutional rights back, but there's a difference between banning from the internet and banning from places on the internet. I can't see it possible to ban you from the internet overall, but you can say you're not allowed to go to the Boy Scouts website.
Well, now here's a question. What if it was the other way around? What if Facebook had a policy saying we don't allow registered sex offenders on our site?
Completely fine.
They may. I don't know.
Facebook is a private business. Yeah. You have no right to be on Facebook. Now, I can see a right to be on the internet because that falls under a freedom of the press. The internet is an outlet.
So in this case, wouldn't the onus just be on Facebook to support this? I mean, as opposed to the court doing it?
Yeah, Facebook could say, you're a convicted sex offender. We don't want you in our community. Bye.
Yeah.
He's been shunned from Facebook.
I guess, I mean, I know some of these sites are so big, and it's always really funny when you see the comment sections of YouTube or Facebook where people are talking about their rights and free speech and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, it's privately held companies, dude. That's why Galaxy 15 is its own platform and it costs me money every month, is because could I do this shit on YouTube? Yeah, probably, or SoundCloud or whatever. But
they could take you off.
Absolutely. You know, could we host... For while we do with the main page, could we host it on, like, I don't know, a Tumblr or something? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, but we could. It'd be free at that point, but I'd rather have a little bit of control over the destiny of the station. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Aryu. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just saying, like, you own it. You've got the right to do whatever you want to it. And you can actively ban people from it as the owner.
Yeah. So I would think it would behoove governments that want to be able to do this, instead of doing a court mandate saying you're not allowed to use social media, why not just contact the social media platforms you're worried about, make an agreement with them? Because I am, given Twitter was, you know, helping hunt down and behead you know, infidels, so I'm pretty sure they'd be willing to work with the United States government.
You'd think that. Call it YouTube here. There's been an active, I don't know what you'd call it, but, you know, like Dora the Explorer videos and stuff like that on YouTube. And Elsa from, they're all the Disney stuff, things like that. People have been tagging inappropriate videos for kids with those tags. So parents just sitting the kids down in front of, you know, the tablet and typing in fucking Dora the Explorer or whatever. Suddenly they're finding their kids watching fetish-style videos with Dora the Explorer and things like that, that it should only be on websites, you know, that aren't mainstream. Kids shouldn't be seeing it. But they're being flagged by people. There are a group of people at the moment flagging these as inappropriate, and YouTube aren't taking them down. Huh. They're not even retagging them. Later off air, I can show you it all. It's just, it's not appropriate.
I don't know that I
want
to see it.
But, no, I don't want, no, not the videos. I'll just show you the timeline of how long this has been going on.
Oh,
and it's been going on for a couple of months now, of trying to get these videos taken down. And some of them are just fucking atrocious, man.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, a lot of these companies have already made agreements with the EU. It wouldn't be that hard for governments of size to get a hold of them. And, like, look, if we provide you a list of people who aren't allowed to use your service because they're horrible, can you, I mean, just block them?
If they're acting as government agents in the U.S., then they're held to government standards.
That's a fair point.
So they have to be willing to do it without the government saying do it.
I mean, the government could still go negotiate some kind of an agreement with them, couldn't they?
They could negotiate a way to make it easier for them to track pedophiles, but we already post that. It's a lookwhogotbusted.com.
With that game.
With that game? So, the government already makes it very easy to track down the pederasts. And they could try to make it easier and just do a direct pipe to Facebook. These guys are diddling children. But Facebook would still have to make it their choice as to whether or not to ban them. Otherwise, there's some issues of they're acting as a government agent, thus have the same protections as if a government agent was going.
If the government flags someone for being a kiddly diddler through facial recognition or something on Facebook and then has them banned, is that defaming the person?
They have the only right if to it's privacy? Wrong, but a lot of times they'll just probably go with the names and then just have a way of saying, my name happens to be John Blow, and John Blow's a kitty diddler. It's not the same John Blow. Look at the different birth dates.
And Madman was just eaten by a small furry creature.
Either that or you got a hole and deflated.
Yes. So.
Yeah, I don't think that'll work, Psychos. Psychos talking about doing an age check. Are you over the age of 18 to visit this website? Yes or no? How many times did you click no when you were looking for stuff?
And Facebook already has a you have to be, I think, 13. And 16. I know 8 years old, 8 year-olds on it.
8 year-olds, dude. 8 year-olds.
Yes. On Facebook.
I know they're trying to pass a law here that you can't sell a smartphone to anyone under the age of 14.
I think that's kind of crap.
They're eventually just going to give up and give you, you know, start handing out your internet user's license. Yeah. Be like a driver's license.
I look forward to failing my test multiple times.
All right, next article. Keeping in the realm of government bullshit. UK's government cyber essentials scheme suffers security breach. So the UK government's cyber essentials security scheme has been whacked by a security breach that has whacked. Who wrote this? What's your name? Who wrote this? The author did not have the balls to sign their name.
Really?
Oh, there it is. Graham Burton. Graham Burton. Dude. The UK government cyber essential security scheme has been whacked by a security breach that has exposed the email addresses of consultancies bidding for sensitive contracts. While the details exposed as a result of the attack are only email addresses, it could put organizations at greater risk of phishing and spear phishing attacks. Details of the attack were only exposed when warning emails were leaked to the register. We'd like to make you aware that due to a configuration error at the Pervade software platform we use for cyber essentials assessments, the email addresses you use to apply for an assessment and your company name may have been released to a third party, the notice states. Pervade. So, by the way, this program uses the Pervade email system. Oh, bitch, people. You don't advertise what your spam filter is. That's how people figure out what the holes are. God. The stupid, it hurts.
That's great.
And I know you're having fun antagonizing Psychros there, but
I'm not actively antagonizing him.
We would like to make it clear that let's go back into our government voice here. We'd like to make it clear that the security of the assessment platform has not been compromised. Your account, the answers you provided in the assessment, and the report you received are secure. No information other than your email addresses and your company name was accessible to the third party. It's just bullshit. Bullshit. Why would they only have two rows of that table in that database? I guess it wouldn't be rows, it would be columns. Why would they only have two columns in that database? That's bullshit.
Yeah.
The organization attributes the breach to a misconfiguration of one of its platforms, which enabled an unknown person to access a list of email addresses in a log file generated by the platform. It claims, wait a minute, this configuration accessible in a log file. They had access to your file system, numbnuts. God.
File system was being backed up to iCloud. We wanted to make sure that it was safe somewhere.
We put it straight in Amazon S3 in a public bucket to make sure that we didn't have any problems, you know, uploading the file. It claims that only company names, email addresses, and IP addresses were exposed to the result. Okay, so now we're changing the story. So now it's email addresses, IP addresses, and company names. Internal IP addresses, when the company, most companies host their public websites on like Amazon or shit like that, those internal IP addresses are actually really fun to find. Like, if I can figure out what your company's internet service provider IP is, so like, you know, the route that your company is connected to the internet on, not your web host, because a lot of people will use proxies or Amazon or anti-DDoS company. I can't think of the name. Cloudflare. Or like a Cloudflare or some other CDN. So yeah, if you can get the actual IP, you can start swiping, you know, scanning their firewall, seeing what's open, see if there's ways in. I mean, so IP addresses, emails, and this is everything I would need if I wanted to be an asshole on the internet and attack your company. I would do a phishing campaign through those email addresses, scan your IPs, and then when I got the connection back from one of those IPs, I would know that I was successful in my phishing campaign and that it actually hit my intended target. That's a lot of information. Log file. Commenting. Illa Contentello. I don't know how to say that name. CEO of web security company High Tech Bridge played down the seriousness of the breach. In light of recent breaches exposing billions of records containing extremely sensitive information, our trash can fire is nothing compared to that apartment building fire over there. Sorry, UK. Sorry, London. But I mean, seriously, it's like, yeah, that,
it's
our trash can
soon.
Fire. Our
it's
trash can fire
soon.
Is, you know. You know, look at that. Only 5 people died in our trash can fire. You've lost at least 17, probably more in that one. I mean, come on.
It's only a minor chemical spill in the drinking water.
In light of recent breaches exposing billions of records, extremely, I would not call this particular incident a breach. Yeah, it's barely a minor bleeding incident. No, I mean, look at that. Some people got their heads cut off. You're just, you know, missing a toe. God, I hate the reasoning.
Yeah.
Indeed, it can facilitate phishing attacks against the companies whose emails were exposed. However, virtually all this data can be gathered from public sources. Probably true, but it's still handy to have it in a nice convenient list like that. The government's reaction is quite professional. Bullshit. However, an additional technical detail such as the time and date of the breach and preliminary results of the investigation would be helpful. Such incidents are quite hard to avoid, unfortunately. Moreover, due to the lack of resources, many governmental websites have much more dangerous vulnerabilities that remain undetected for years. due to the nature of the CS accreditation, companies on the list should have capabilities to detect and mitigate phishing attacks. Additional vigilance would not harm. Yeah, so it's like, well, you should be running a phishing filter anyways, so the fact that we just dumped your data out there... Fuck.
Wow.
It's okay, so the reason I wanted to talk about this is not the breach, because, yeah, people do get breached all the time, and lists like this get dumped all the time. It's the callousness of it. It's like, yep. Well, you know, our garbage can fire, our minor... It's only a minor stabbing versus, like, a school shooting. I mean...
What are you worried about? You've got 3 other kids.
How would you always filter that? Because it's the information that is supposed to be going to your company.
You monitor email and hope your users are smart enough not to click shit.
Oh, God. I've talked to people, they're not.
Madman with the correct answer there. So, all right, next one.
Oh, yeah, you know what, actually, sorry, just... Before
go
we
ahead.
End out on that,
go ahead.
As this shit happens more and more, and people become more blasé about it, you're gonna see really callous reporting like this. You know, well, it was only, you know, 22,000 bank accounts were lost today. but it wasn't mine, so who gives a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I think what makes it worse, this was the government leaking it, so you, it's really hard to not do business with them.
Yeah.
They really, really need to be on their shit.
You're really going to start hiring security experts that do smoke pot.
There you go. There you go. That'll get it right there. Might work a little bit of odd hours, but guess what? They get the job done. Who the hell cares?
Exactly. So,
anyways, next article up is from Axios. FCC no longer cares to regulate payphones because there are so few of them left. The FCC on Thursday proposed eliminating some of the regulatory requirements for phone companies that support their few remaining payphones. It's another sign of the rapid decline of pre-cell phone era technology. The numbers of payphones are seriously dwindling when the telecom regulator no longer feels the need to track transactions for them. The number of U.S. payphones has declined to fewer than 100,000, down from 2 million in 1997. So the actual graph says 99.8K cell phones left in the United States. Cincinnati Bell asked the FCC last month for a waiver to exempt it from filing the annual audits tracking payphone transactions. According to the FCC filings, the cost of Cincinnati Bell's audit is now about five times the amount of revenue it makes from the payphones. Sprint has also asked for a waiver.
Wow.
So,
I didn't think the audit would take that much because they're already keeping track of their funds, and it's the IRS paying for the audit. You just have to submit the paperwork.
Well,
I guess must be if a level it's not of an audit thing. On cash, it could be an audit on something else, because is the FCC doing the audits?
The cost of Cincinnati, the line from the article right here, the cost of the Cincinnati Bell's audit is now about five times the amount of revenue it makes from the payphones. So, actually, you know what it could be? It could be like a Sarbanes-Oxley kind of thing, where it's like, you know, entry level for auditing on that is at least $1 million a year.
Like, oh,
you know, even if you're like a two-man shop kind of thing. So the requirements of the audit might just be so horrendously expensive that because payphones have dwindled down to next to nothing with like a fixed cost on that audit, that, you know, why fucking bother, right? Because the answer is, if you can't get waivers from these audits, yeah, the payphones are just going to stop working. They're just going to turn them off.
They're going to go away. Service them.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
sad.
It is kind of sad. I remember the days where you could take a nail and carefully, you know, get it to make contact with the plate, and then touch it to the ground line of the phone and get free phone calls. That was fun.
Yeah.
I only murdered a couple of payphones at high school doing that. Turns out those little receivers are really easy to puncture the element in.
Yeah. Paperclip?
Yeah, paperclip.
Not incriminating ourselves.
I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations on hacking payphones 20 years ago.
I was going to say, yeah, it's fucking definitely up on that.
I was really fancy, though. I had a diamond Rio with the red box tone on it.
Fancy it is.
That was fancy. You hold my headphones up to it, and that kind of quit working right after I got it. You know, I got it to work like twice, and then that was after that it quit working.
Dude, I'm so old that I was using rotary phones for payphones when I was a teenager.
I remember rotary phones. My grandmother had one, and I thought it was neat.
You know what I always liked about rotary phones? The fact that you could, once you figured out how they worked, you could sit there with the switches and manually tap out your phone calls on them.
Yep.
Useless as hell, but it was fun.
It was fun, and because you knew how to do it, and nobody else knew how to do it, you were unique in a little way. It made you feel special, even though everybody else just pointed and laughed and went, what the fuck? Just phone someone that you don't even know.
Yeah, it always was one of those things where it's like, hey man, check this out, and you do it, and why don't you just punch the numbers?
Yeah,
and then you know it's like, well, I.
And that's when you go home and realize why you have no friends. But your mommy's special, boy.
Tendies
now. Oh, shit.
God. Hang on.
You know, in fucking 20 years' time, you'd be like, I remember the day when you actually had to hold a smartphone. It wasn't just in your head.
We can fix it.
He's been trying, waiting all day to use that.
Yes, I have.
Appreciate it, people.
That took me forever to cut out.
There's a free t-shirt if anyone can figure out where it came from in the next 5 seconds. 4, 3, 2, 1. Fuck, no one gets a shirt.
That's good, because there's no guarantee that RU would have laundered it before he mailed it. It's like, oh, here's my free t-shirt. It's an extra small and has holes in it. What the fuck?
Actually,
oh, God, what's that? Why does it smell like fertilizer?
The one I have on today is 22 years old and is full of holes.
Ah! Mad panties under the cameras. So you might want to move them. Anyways, let's see. Next up is from the BBC. So, paste links. And a good bit of corporate warfare here. RU actually got this link for me. So, Amazon accuses Walmart of bullying in cloud computing clash. Walmart, the U.S.'s biggest retail chain, has been accused of trying to coerce its technology suppliers into shunning Amazon's cloud computing service. Amazon accused its rival of attempting to bully the IT companies into picking a rival platform. The row follows a report by the Wall Street Journal, which said other unnamed large retailers had also asked vendors to shun Amazon Web Services. The row comes at a time Amazon is expanding its shopping operations.
Moving into brick and mortar.
Yeah.
They've bought Whole Foods.
Oh, that's right. They did do that, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yep, they actually have brick and mortar grocery stores. Moving into brick and mortar retail as everything else as well.
Last Friday, the Seattle-based business announced a $13.7 billion takeover of Whole Foods. And this week it revealed that it struck a deal with Nike to sell the sportswear maker shoes directly, and that it was launching Prime Wardrobe, a service that lets customers order and try clothes for 7 days before deciding which to buy and keep. The web services division may not be well known to the public as the company's retail operations, but it is a huge money earner. That's because anybody who's actually tried to set up a data center in AWS realizes, oh my God, is that expensive. In April, the company reported it generated $3.7 billion in sales over the previous 3 months. The $3.7 billion in 3 months, that's pretty damn good.
That's not bad. It's bigger than GDP of a lot of countries.
Yeah. The business provides computing power, online storage, and security protection. Tools for security protection and developer tools to third party. Clients include Netflix, Airbnb, General Electric, and the CIA. Apparently, the CIA thinks it's safe to put government secrets in a cloud computing infrastructure.
Did you see the little picture on the thing? You can go into the cloud now.
The inflatable building there. Enter the cloud. Actually, you know, I know from personal experience, you can do a pretty good job of locking down Amazon Web Services if you need to.
Mm.
But it's one of those things where if the right person makes a mistake, say, sets up an account that shouldn't be there on the Amazon account, or they don't have multi-factor enabled and all they got to do is guess a username and password, or I don't know, somebody publishes your code to GitHub with your Amazon keys in it. You want to have some fun, go on GitHub. Look up the Amazon the key format, because there's a couple of different ones that could be based on like whether you're using command line tools or the APIs or whatever. So look up what those keys look like, then go on GitHub and look for strings that are related to those keys. Have fun.
Interesting.
Fuck. One of my favorite commits to look for on GitHub is password removed. It's amazing, because then you just go back a version and you see what the password was. It's just like, fuck. SSH keys are pretty common on there too. But it's not so much that you can't make it secure. It's just that it's so error prone that why would you bother if you're something like the CIA?
I have no clue at this point.
It's better than letting their analysts touch it?
I guess it could be. According to Gartner, AWS leads the market in its field. However, Walmart uses Microsoft's rival Azure service. A spokesperson for Walmart acknowledged the concerns about its suppliers' use of AWS. Our vendors have the choice of using any cloud provider that meets their needs and their customers' needs. Okay, this guy needs like a mafia accent. I'm not going to do one because I don't think I can do a good one, but it shouldn't be a big surprise that there are cases in which we'd prefer our most sensitive data isn't sitting on a competitor's platform.
Well, so what are we getting down to it? You know, most of the corporates like Kmart and that are dead and gone. You get the last two bastion giants sitting there fighting it out for their loyalty and love of their customers. So you're getting down to another PC of Apple fucking argument.
Yeah, you really are.
So, choice goes out the window.
Let's see. We've heard that Walmart or Amazon's suggested approach is misguided. We've heard that Walmart continues to try to bully its suppliers into not using AWS because they have an incorrect view that AWS is somehow supporting Amazon's retail business. Well, they are the same company. I mean, they're different divisions, but they kind of are the same. Plenty of suppliers are standing up to Walmart and refusing to be told what they can't use. Right. Tactics like this are bad for business and customers and rarely carry the day. AWS's use of encryption means its own staff cannot peer into the data stored on its computer servers by its customers. Bullshit! Nobody builds a system that's perfect like that. One analyst said it's understandable why Walmart and others might not want to help send business its way. So,
either way, the customer is going to get stuck.
Yeah. Corporate warfare, anybody?
Yep.
Yeah, how long until like countries that aren't really in the markets are being bought by these companies and, you know, being used for actual war?
That would be 30 years ago.
Yeah, damn it, Madman, I was making a joke.
I mean, the term Banana Republic came about for a reason.
Yeah, not
what did Chiquita do? What did they do? Madman, show us on this banana where Chiquita touched you.
No, but I can show you in this 10x4 glossy where it did.
South American countries.
The 10x4 glossy. Okay, show us on this map of the world using this banana as a pointer where Chiquita touched you.
Hey, what was it? Google Maps almost triggered out a war between, who was it? Vietnam and somebody else? Somebody's using Google Maps on a patrol and ended up in the other country.
Oh, yeah.
Army, they teach you to read a fucking map and landmarks for a reason.
Yeah, but some countries, Madman, you know, don't really get to have a lot of generation of next men to fight. They've just got to take the youngest ones they have because the communists took the heads off the other ones.
But Pol Pot's been dead for how long now? Surely they've rebuilt the middle class.
He would have looked great in glasses.
Yep, right up till they killed him for it.
All right, next article is also from the BBC, and it's from RU. Sega has debuted free classic games on mobiles. Sega has started to release free mobile versions of classic games from its back catalog. The first five, including Sonic the Hedgehog, are now available via the Apple and Android app stores. The game maker said it planned to release additional titles every 2 weeks in the for the Sega Forever service. Some fans have complained about the first releases, saying Sega has done a poor job converting the classics to mobile devices. Above all else, Sega Forever is a celebration of nostalgia, said Mike Evans, head of Sega's mobile division in San Francisco, in a statement. It's about allowing fans to reconnect with past experiences. Pretty sure it's called emulators?
They're free. Don't bitch.
Yeah. Fair point. So
you might want to jump back up into the other one right now.
So, anyways, sorry about that. Let's see, where was I? Above all else, the Sega Forever is a celebration of nostalgia, said Mike Evans, head of Sega's mobile division in San Francisco, in a statement. It's allowing fans to reconnect with past experiences. It's a very easy conversion to take those games to free, Mr. Evans told game website gamesindustry.biz. As with many other apps, Sega said it would run ads before and after the games were played. However, it would make it easy for players to avoid them. or just bolting in the advertising support model in a single in-app purchase that can disable those ads. Sega said it would be the cost of $199 in the US and $199 in the UK to turn off those ads. Is the pound that close to the dollar? Or are they just doing that for ease of use?
Right now, I think it is.
Cool.
They got a bit of a hit when they left the EU.
So, the online gaming catalog will eventually feature titles from all the Sega console eras. Initially, Sega said it was concentrating on games for the Master System, Mega Drive, and Game Gear consoles, but made those for Dreamcast and Saturn would follow. So far, we've got Sonic the Hedgehog, Comic Zone, Phantasy Star 2, Kid Chameleon, and Altered Beast. Games can be played via portable devices, touchscreen, or by controller. Sega said they would also be playable offline, but people can save their progress online if they wish. The games for it said it would eventually add a multiplayer option to many of the games. Not all fans of the older games are happy with the arrival of Sega Forever. Retro games enthusiast John Lineman criticized the way they had been transferred or ported to mobile devices. He said the lousy emulation led to glitches during gameplay. There are loads of drop frames, hiccups, and skips, Mr. Lineman told games website Nintendo Life. And when a notification occurs, it gets much worse, so it never plays smoothly. So, yeah, I mean, ads, but you can turn them off if you just buy them.
All right, if I pay for it, it needs to run smoothly. When it's free, I don't care.
But pretty sure, at least on Android, the emulators have been floating around for a while.
Right. That's the best place to play retro games.
And RU has a web browser based link. So, cool.
They all run really well, and you get a choice of old Flash games, NES, Neo Geo, DOS games. Careful on the DOS ones, though. Did every console ever made Atari?
I would ask if you tried it on like an Android or something, but I know you don't have one, so.
No, I've never tried any of this on a phone or anything, but that's what I use when I'm bored and want to play retro games. They even have all the original PAL games as well from straight out of Japan. For a lot of you NTS guys, wouldn't have played those.
Cool. So, the last article I have for tonight is from, ZionistDeviceNews.com. I don't have the clip loaded. Girl Scouts are training the next generation of female hackers.
Oh, man.
The Girls Youth Organization recently announced 18 new cybersecurity badges and a program to teach scouts coding, data privacy, and online safety. You know what? I don't actually have a problem with somebody showing young girls how to be safe online, now that I think about this. Just saying.
Dude, I just don't even like using the words young girls online in the same sentence.
Yeah, you
it
know,
makes
you're
me
right.
feel uncomfortable.
You're right. So, in the future... Hang on, I need a sound... I don't have a sound effect. I unloaded it. I thought I had the dramatic
in
thing,
the land
but I don't.
Of tomorrow...
In the future, Girl Scouts may prevent the next Russian cyber attack in between in selling Thin Mints. Really? The Girls Youth Organization recently announced the introduction of 18 new cybersecurity badges, which will be introduced in September of 2018. In the past, Girl Scouts have been rewarded with badges for mastering skills like the first aid, painting, and jewelry making. Now, in a partnership with security firm Palo Alto Networks, they'll be able to earn badges in cybersecurity too. Scouts in kindergarten and first grade, known as daisies, will be taught the basics of data privacy and online safety, while older scouts up to grade 12 will be introduced to coding, firewalls, and how to become a white hat hacker. And I hate this explanation here. Code or slang for a hacker who uses her skills for good, not evil. Pretty sure it's not evil. I mean, yeah, Psychos is like Rick and Morty clips. You know, you're not wrong.
It's all good that they want to be safe and things like that. And yes, if you want to be a coder or whatever.
This is poorly written, though.
Yeah, don't try and make it sound sexy. Like, whoever's writing this, they're trying to make coding sound sexy, and it's not. Right?
Here's the quote. At Girl Scouts of the USA, we recognize that in our increasingly tech-driven world, future generations must possess the skills to navigate the complexities and inherent challenges of the cyber realm. Cyber, are we calling it that now? Cyber realm? Is that... What happened to just calling it the internet?
Oh, if it's a realm, can I be a super hacker wizard class?
I'm rolling up a rogue. Girl Scout CEO Sylvia Axiato said in a press release, with this partnership, Girl Scouts hope to introduce girls to computer and internet literacy and provide access to a demographic that is often left out of the burgeoning field. According to a recent study, women are grossly under... Oh, it's a social justice.
Women are grossly underrepresented
in the global cybersecurity industry, only making up 11% of the workforce. You know where I work right now? Wait a minute. I work in cybersecurity and my boss is a woman. What the fuck? What are you guys talking about? Furthermore, the Computing Technology Industry Association reports that 69% of women who have not pursued careers in information technology attribute their choice not knowing what opportunities are available to them.
This doesn't fly, dude. Like, it's only later on in life did I figure out international arms smuggling was a thing. Do I go around starting a protest movement about, you know, I was left out of that choice because I didn't know about it? Fuck off.
Depending on who you're asking, the field's only existed for 10, 15, 20 years if you're, you know, depending.
As a mainstream field, I'd say 5 years.
Well, I've been working in it for a decade, so at least that.
Yeah, man, five years tops. Like, has it been one that we need to get people into? Like, usually it was that, well, that the weird guy, that he's the IT guy, you know, What do you do? I work with computers. You know, it wasn't a stylish fucking job. It was like garbage man equivalent. Like, what does Rod do? Oh, he's in IT. Oh, he must be fucking weird, you know? IT's only become a desirable in the last 5 years because suddenly every fucking woman wants to do it.
I'm not opposed to that. I mean,
I'm not opposed to anyone doing it. I'm just saying that it's not this glorified fucking fantastic job that every fucking person keeps telling me it is. I know you work in it, Morps, you like doing it. Great, that's your thing. But they make it out as if it's like the be-all and end-all fucking job to have these days, to be a coder and work in IT. Fuck off. Sorry, rant.
No, you're fine.
I'm sick of hearing this push.
You know, yeah, there are parts of it I really enjoy, but a lot of it you don't. A lot of it suck.
I think it has a lot to do with my wife and that, because she does curriculum at schools, and they're really pushing this coding shit down kids' throats. And you know what? 93% of the kids are bucking it. They don't want to fucking learn code. They can't stand it.
So, I see that. I totally get that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Let's move on and wrap up with this. Hadouken! So it's a little bit different of a thing for Digital Dojo tonight, and this is not because I couldn't find anything else. This blog post. It's actually really cool. It's a whole bunch of extra leftover special effects from the Tron movie that came out a couple of years ago. So, and they've got some music on the Vimeo pictures and interfaces and some extra footage and B-roll. But if you're putting together interfaces or you need wallpapers or... Basically, these videos have some awesome places you can pause it and take a picture, screenshot. Or if you do video work... You could actually, you know, save the videos out and use them for like background images, B-roll, special effects, or, you know, if you're, you know, possibly trying to redesign a radio station website and you want to give it that interface look, you might have been looking for things that have that and came across some Tron B-roll. So,
that's cool, man.
But, yeah, I mean, and honestly, some of these are just kind of cool to look at. So... just be forewarned, they do have the Tron music embedded in some of the videos, so if you're going to try to use it for special effects, you'll need to do some work to cut it up, right? But anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream, we're always working on it. Pure Deckings every Thursday, approximately 9 p.m. Central is when I try to start. So, you know, right on the main page of the website, it's an IRC channel. It's Freenode, hashtag Galaxy15 Radio if you want to come in there and poke fun at us as we do the show. I try to post the links and pay attention to what people are saying in there during the show, or at least Psychros. I think Don't Ask showed up in somewhere in there too, but I haven't seen him saying too much. So, anyways, though, that's all I've got. Are you closing thoughts?
I have nothing.
Fair ball.
I really do.
Madman, anything?
Was it the sequel to Tron?
Yeah, it's the sequel to Tron.
Okay, I still haven't watched it.
It's a decent movie. It's nothing great, but I mean, it's decent. They were going to do a third one, but I don't think that one did well enough for them to do a third one. So.
Oh, can they do an all-female remake?
Well, if they're going to make it internet accurate, it'd be rated X, so I don't know how you'd... they all just start taking their clothes off in the middle of the show, right? So,
one thing I've noticed is there seems to be a lot of people... summing up, making YouTube videos, summing it up, like almost giving it obituaries. I'm watching this guy's series right now on you poop videos. You know, the mashup old anime. Yeah, he's doing a comprehensive series on the original one that came out and things like that, and going right through it. It's actually very interesting. But there's signs that YouTube is dying. You know, people are actually, they're categorizing stuff, where it started, how it's finished, and why people aren't doing this anymore.
Well, YouTube's quit paying them, for one thing. Any of them take that into account in the videos you've watched?
No, I don't think these sort of videos were monetized. Well, maybe they were. I don't know, I'm only up to episode 4, there's a couple more to go.
Anyways, that's all I got. Let me play some sound effects and close out the show here.
Hanzo's account. Hanzo's account. Hanzo's account.
Thank you, Thigh Master.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.